When I was thinking of going back to work and all the cool things we'd be doing, the one thing that always stands out is your Taste Test Mondays, right? There's just so much to offer on, and not only in this country, but on this continent, which is why today is going to be a really, really cool chat. We're going to be chatting to Lumaya de Schmidt, who is a designer, photographer of the Africa Cookbook, as well as Portia Mbau, who's the author of the Africa Cookbook. But what's it all about? Well, Lumaya and Portia are a mother and daughter team who enjoy, you know, tantalizing everybody's taste buds with their delicious African cuisine. They've recently released the Africa Cookbook, where Lumaya is the photographer and designer, and as I pointed out earlier, Portia is the author of the book. And they join you today to talk about this particular journey with food. Hello, 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 and thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So where does this before? I mean, I'm looking at that food and it looks great. And there's a reason I don't do benting, because I like bread, and I see you've got some Ethiopian bread there, and we'll get to that. So I'm looking forward to tasting that too. But where does your journey with this before we even talk about the journey, let's talk about the African Cookbook and what exactly it is in its essence.
So we'll start off by saying we brought a book for you.
Oh, brilliant, good.
There you'll be able to have a look.
I like doing book reviews before I read them. No, I'm kidding. No, lovely. Thank you very much for this.
You're welcome. So the book is over 27 years. My mom, our whole family has been traveling around Africa. So it's been over a long time that these recipes have been collected and we've gone to places and been inspired. So the book has been a long time in the making, really.
27 years traveling?
Yes. Yep.
You need a kid. I love my mother.
Yes.
I'll have to bring her along with a package. Yeah. But I'd love to come and live with you. 27 years of traveling. Tell me that story in and of itself. How did that come about?
Well, it's an adventure. We went to unusual places. Like we went to Timbuktu, up the Niger River in Apanasi. We just traveled. We met people. And I just really wanted to find out, being coming from the tip of this huge continent, What is more? I mean, everybody goes to Thailand and Bali and the States and Europe. But here we are on this fantastic continent. And I'm hungry to explore it.
I love this.
And the more I go, the more I love the people I meet. I love the people I meet because food is like layers. It's like your culture. It's who you are.
Yes.
It's your body. It's the earth. It's everything. And before everything comes food.
And you know, it's the one thing you don't have to go to university to learn how
to
do. You get that from culture, from people within your and other spaces.
Indeed.
And that's been passed on from generation to generation and has been evolved from generation to generation. So was this I thought you guys just traveled for 27 years. But so I would imagine you obviously gainfully employed and all the rest of it.
Yes.
And then whenever it was time to go on holiday, you said, okay, where do we go to next? Is that right?
That's right.
So how would that play out? You would then book the holiday, but how would you then get to find out more about the cuisine and get the recipes and all the rest of it? Because people are very precious about their recipes.
Indeed. So we book the holiday and we end up in a hotel.
Mojo
Hotel. And we speak to people. And the first thing I always ask them is this the food you eat at home? The waiters, the chefs, which they're usually local.
Yeah.
And they say, no, this is what we do for Europeans and for tourists. And then I say, but I want to eat the food you eat.
Now, you see, I like that. Because I had a chat with the Cape Town International Airport some time ago. And I said, you guys serve the same stuff that I can find at LAX, that I can find at most airports around. It's a bit like hotels. You know, everybody offers eggs and scrambled eggs and wherever you go.
Exactly.
And it's so important for big corporates and everybody to realize that when I travel, I actually want to taste what is local.
The food of the people. What are they eating? What makes them tick? What are they growing? What are they preparing? So that's what I want to find out.
So you spoke to people, and then how did you get to find out more about it? Did you go to their homes? Well, did they then cook you up a meal? And then, by the way, you can have the recipe because you're so friendly.
Yes.
How did it work?
Yes, well, exactly. It's as simple as it is. They say to you, well, come to my home. Do you want to come to my home? And I said, yes, please. Well, I stay there. I say, some stay far in villages. And I say, they say, well, when my day off is in such and such a day, I'll communicate with family, you know, way before cell phones, because we started traveling way before cell phones were available. So I will tell my uncle to tell the cousin to let them know that I'm bringing you.
No Twitter.
Exactly. No Twitter. And that's how it happened. And we traveled in buses and trucks, wherever it go. They take us and we get there and they'll prepare a meal. They always so eager. And usually the person who's taking us from the hotel, the lady, the gentleman, whether it's a bellboy, whoever he is, speaks English, because we can't always speak the different dialects and the different languages people speak, and he will translate. But everybody gets so excited. Yeah, these people.
Yeah, I think it's also fair to say that they are very excited to have us. Like, they're very willing to feed us. They're very willing to share. It's not at all like we have to ask, really. They're like so honored that people traveling want to come into their home and to taste what their mom, their grandmother, they're making. So they're really honored. They're happy to share. It's like the African way.
Listen, man, if Twitter was around 27 years ago, you guys would be phenomenal influencers right about now, traveling, taking photos and posting it. So how do you choose? Because let's be honest, you go to countries and sometimes people serve up things you don't really want to eat, you don't want to add in your book. So how much research is actually done before you get there? Or is it hit and miss?
It's hit and miss.
Hit and miss.
And it's not always, I don't always just cook. In generally, I'm inspired by what they do, because I want to, and then I come home and I make my own thing. I put it together, I mix in, I put my spices, and I've always put like a danya in there, coriander, and I kind of mix it, and I put my garlic, really, and I think, I ate this, but you know what, I ate it and it was just served in a big bowl. I'm going to make a little patty out of it, and I'm going to fry it. I'm going to add some caramelized onion. So I do my, but my inspiration came from there. And that's how I do it. And I mix and match it, you know.
I like that. The noise you're hearing is me opening this quite voluminous book, actually. And what a beautiful cover. Anyway, we'll post all of this online. I just opened up on Egyptian tamia. That looks lekker. So tell me a bit about Egyptian tamia.
Well, Egyptian tamia is actually, it's a vegetarian dish.
Okay.
And it's actually good for people who are vegan as well.
Okay.
Because what it is just a whole lot of beans. You can use any either beans, small white beans. You can use speckled red kidney beans, a whole lot of danya, coriander, cilantro, parsley, leeks. You chop it all up. Mix it together, some onion, you make it into a patty, and then you fry it. And of course,
kind of
you
like a falafel. Like a
falafel.
Different type of falafel.
A little type of falafel. Now, what I discovered traveling around Africa, because we went north, south, east, west, is that the Mediterranean is influenced, the countries along the Mediterranean are influenced by the Mediterranean, and the cuisine. So the cuisine would be similar to most of what they eat in Italy, Egypt, and Morocco, will be similar. Then you go to the countries where, like, Nairobi, Tanzania, Zanzibar, influenced by the spice route. And also you go to certain countries along the coast are influenced by the...
India.
Not only by India, but by the Dutch travelers. So you find that they were the boat people. They kind of brought cassava onto the islands. They took tomatoes from the South Americas, and they brought it to the Africas. So there's a lot of mixtures that you find, and there's such a rich culture. This continent is so beautiful. There's so much here.
I love it. I love the fact that you've decided to do this in the first place. I'm actually going to try the Kenyan coconut chicken curry.
Yes.
I'm definitely. This book is, wow, man. This is brilliant.
Thank you.
So you've brought some dishes with us. Let's talk about the dishes that, or what you have brought us. I mean, let's start talking about that bread, the Ethiopian bread.
So this is an Ethiopian spiced bread, and what makes it special is that Ethiopian nomads had to preserve their spices, so they boiled a type of butter up with like whole cinnamon, star aniseed, like a ghee. So there's a clarified butter that's infused with these beautiful spices, which goes into the bread dough. So which gives it that lovely yellow color, and it's very moist, very flavorful. And then we've put onto it some lovely, different, fun dips and stuff, which we also serve at the Africa Cafe, which is my mom's restaurant.
So we'll talk about that definitely. Yes. So this bread also is also a healthier bread, is it?
Yes, definitely a healthier bread.
We can't say healthy bread because we get into lots of trouble, but it's a healthier bread. compared to what we can find on the shelves. Yes,
definitely. But I think what a lot of people have found interesting in the book is that there's so many vegetarian or like whole grain healthy recipes,
yeah,
which is definitely not the perception around African food, which for me is really important, was to change the perception around, yep, what we think African food is. It's meat, it's braais, it's biltong,
it's pap and poiki,
there's no spices or anything, like there's complex, there's sophisticated spices. So this bread is an example for you of all those
things. I can't wait to taste it. So which one would you suggest?
So on this one here, we've got it's a red pepper relish and a pineapple pickle. It's a little bit of spicy. There's a little bit of chili in there. Mm-hmm. Turmeric. You're getting the lovely moist.
Oh my word!
Bread flavors.
It's lots of depths of flavors.
There. Yeah. Wow. Lots of layers.
It's like literally a party in my mouth.
Yeah.
Of flavors.
Yes.
And the bread. I just want to taste the bread on its own.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's divine. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So there's also flavors in there. And then the other little topping we did is of a brown lentil dip with a bit of mint on it. And there's also a cashew nut cheese we put on there.
So we can find the brown lentil dip in the book.
The brown lentil dip isn't in the book, but this dip, the jungle dressing, which is also with coriander, yep, there's herbs and mint in there, very similar. And avocado, that's in the book.
Wonderful. So when you, and we'll go through the rest of it, but when you put a book like this together, one of the most important things is to not have me run around town and do Google searches until I'm blue in the face before I find the actual ingredients. Mm-hmm. So are these quite accessible ingredients?
Very accessible.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So definitely the recipes are easy. There might be a long list of ingredients, but the actual, you're going to go to a grocery store and in there you will find everything you need. There's vegetables, there's flowers. You're going to need maybe some whole spices or even ground spices, cinnamon, cardamom. You can find this in a Pick and Pay. Even in Checkers, you know, you can find everything you need there. If it's chicken you need, if it's fish, seafood, but it's not, you're not necessarily looking for things like sheep's head or chicken's feet or anything like that. It's very accessible ingredients.
Okay. Mario can get me sheep's head if I look. If I need. What else is there on this that we need? I see you just have the bread.
Then we have the plain bread.
Yeah. Plain bread.
The plain bread. So for me, it's important to taste the plain
yeah,
bread.
Yes, right? Yeah. Because that recipe is in the book. That one is really popular recipe, really special.
I love it.
And there's lots of flavors in there.
Absolutely love it. Now tell us a bit about the restaurant. Because if this is what you're serving up in the book, I want to come check out your restaurant.
The restaurant, you know, we started the restaurant 28. We keep on saying 27, but it's 28 years ago because it started in January of 1992.
Yes, so you started traveling a year after you started the restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So business must have been good. Okay.
Business was good. Well, also because I was hungry for more recipes, you see.
So, true.
So I thought I better do some traveling. So, and I started with my husband and my brother. And also, again, to change people's perceptions about African food. And that it can have depth, it can be beautiful. It doesn't, we don't have to kind of take what people kind of think is boring and put it on an African plate. It can be beautiful as well. So we started the restaurant, we serve 16 different dishes. We serve a whole menu. We call it a feast, a lovely culinary feast. And you travel through different countries in Africa. Always plan the menu that way so people can taste what they like and they can leave what they don't like. That was a part of the idea. Yeah. And there's meat dishes, there's fish, there's always some seafood. And when we have the common things that people expect as well, the mpogoko, the fat cook, we have that, was umngusho, we have that as well, but which are the menus always changing. So we have got interesting a journey. So people come, they taste, they eat, they enjoy, and it's kind of like initially the waitresses wanted to say, can we say thank you to the customers? So we said, great. So they kind of sang and like, yeah,
love
and
it.
People clap. So that's how the restaurant started, and we've been going since then.
Funny story. The first time I had umngusho, which you just mentioned, was at Baleka Mbeta's house. That's before all this other stuff. It was a long, long time ago, and I actually fell in love with it. Sampan beans, and you got the toppings. So tell us more about, is that everything we've tasted?
Yes, yeah. So you tasted that's the pineapple relish.
Mauritian?
Yeah, it's Mauritian, which is very much influenced by Indian cuisine. So you've got whole mustard seeds in there. You've got turmeric, you got curry leaves.
Yeah.
So it's quite almost like an Indian salsa.
Yeah.
The red one is a red pepper relish, which is actually served with a dish of it's like a rice. In the book, you'll see the recipe
yes.
with
Senegalese stuffed papaya.
Yeah, stuffed papaya, which is like a wow. rice salad, and you serve it in a bowl of the papaya fruit, and then this relish goes on top. So that I must say is one of my favorite recipes. I'm the photographer, so I love beautiful. For me,
I
eat
that.
With my eyes. Yeah, yeah, that's why everything here had to be beautiful.
No, even it though is, indeed.
Not everyone can see it, but I know that eating starts with the eyes, and it has to be exciting.
I'm taking on Nando's because I know how to cook a chicken, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I now have Mozambican peri peri dip.
Yes, yes. We actually, that we have a chicken dish we actually marinated in. That dip is amazing. You kind of just marinate your chicken.
You can
chicken
use it as a marinade, yeah.
A drumstick, and then you just put it on the braai, or you can put it in the oven.
Mm. Yep. I'm so glad you guys walked into our lives.
Thank you.
That's the African Cookbook, and where can we find it?
It's at Exclusive Books countrywide.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So get to Exclusive Books. And you know what? It's very different from the normal stuff. Like, I'm so sick. I mean, I love Jamie. What's his name?
Jamie Oliver.
And they're all pretty good. But mm-hmm. this is something which is us, which is this continent, which is, mm-hmm. and I've mm-hmm. tasted it, absolutely delectable as mm-hmm. well. And where do we find your restaurant, by the way?
It's right here in the city center, corner Buitengracht and Short Market, called the Africa Cafe.
Lovely stuff. So thank you very much, Lamai. Thank you, Portia, for coming through as well.
Thank you
and
for having
I'm
us.
Encouraging people to go and check it out. The book doesn't have a website, does it?
Not yet.
You should have
but
a website.
But the restaurant does.
No.
We're on social media.
Oh, okay. Are you on social media?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been, and well done. Well done. I'm very seldom blown away because we get to see a whole lot of, and this is a differentiator, and it is wholesome, and it is, most importantly, very tasty. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very
great
much.
Great stuff. It is 9:56. We're going to be chatting to the Western Cape traffic chief. If he hears what we're talking about today, he's going to want to come and taste some. But I want to talk to him about the road death stats, how things are looking out there, are strategies working, you know, which gaps can they still fill. All of that coming up. It is 9:56. Welcome to today. Keto with you all the way through until midday.
In the last 24 hours, what's happened in your world?
The new investigating directorate tasked with tackling state capture and high-profile graft cases is ending the year with a bang. It's brought its first suspects before the courts on charges of graft related to the construction of Kusile Power Station. The president set up the directorate earlier this year to focus specifically on corruption and state capture cases.
24 hours a day.